Hello, friend. My name is Lane Kennedy, and this is Your Intuition Knows. Thank you for joining me. This is a podcast about exploring life and slowing down from today's super connected, overcommitted busyness. In these episodes, I will show up and share practical tools, small inspirations, pieces of conversations, connection with others, and hope that just for today, if you take a moment, a time out, and breathe, that your life will change. Yep. One slow breath, one pause can change everything. I dare you to hang out with me. Let's change the world. Let's change your world one breath, one moment at a time. Welcome to the show. Let's get into it. Welcome back. Hi, everyone. It's Lane Kennedy, and I am super excited, as always, to be with another amazing guest in this little mini series that I'm doing all about consciousness and yoga nidra. Yay! And today I have a very dear friend of mine, Elsa Karinke of Elsa's Offerings. And yet again, another sister that I met in my yoga nidra training. I'm really excited to kind of dig into her story and what she's about. Welcome to the show, Elsa.
Thank you so much, Lane. Really excited to be here. Really excited to reconnect with you after training.
I know. So good. So good. I love that you are out in the world doing what you do. And one of the things, you know, I have this love-hate relationship with Instagram. But the thing that I love most about it right now is being able to watch people's lives unfold and blossom. And that's what I'm watching with you. It's so cool. So cool. It's epic.
I totally agree. I feel the same way about you and just other people from the training. And, you know, there were people from all over the world in that training. So seeing sort of where they're bringing this practice and how they're presenting it and stuff like that has been really cool. But I hear you about the love-hate with the gram.
Yeah, I know. It's like you have to be on there, but you don't have to be on there. But you want to be on there. That's what I've recently found myself like, I just want to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but no, no, get off, get off. Okay, I digress into social media. So I want to get into yoga nidra, right? Like that's one of the reasons why I'm having this mini series is to really share with the listeners about this practice. Because so many times I get this like dumb look, like, what are you talking about? When I tell them that I'm a yoga nidra guide. And then they also like say, well, what is that? And they also say, well, I don't need to do that. I hear that a lot. Like, no, I don't need to do that. I already have a hatha or a vinyasa, you know, practice. I'm like, but you don't understand. Yes. So I want you to share with our listeners how you found your yoga nidra practice.
Totally. So yoga nidra began for me in the fall of 2016. I had taken a long break off of from college, and I went back to USC fall semester of 2016. And I just found myself in a new level of exhaustion that I hadn't experienced in a really long time. And I had previously given up caffeine, and I knew I didn't want to reintroduce that into my life and stuff like that. And, you know, I had been exposed to meditation kind of on and off and tried different types, but nothing like really stuck. And I was just on Insight Timer, the, you know, free, wonderful meditation app. And I just searched something along the lines of meditation for deep relaxation or something. And a yoga nidra practice came up. And it actually wasn't Jana's. I know she has some on there, but it was about 25 minutes long yoga nidra practice. And I remember laying down and doing the practice and waking up after the 25 minutes and really having no idea if I was awake or asleep or what had happened.
Yep.
but just feeling deeply rested and rejuvenated. And I stuck with that particular nidra for quite a while because it was kind of the perfect length of time, just about 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I do remember I would go in and out of the practice, and sometimes I'd sort of come to during the rapid visualization and be like, what the heck is this? Like, you know, a deer jumping, a rabbit running, or like whatever, all these things. And I'm like, what is going on here? Uh-huh. The feeling that I had after doing that practice was perfect. And, you know, because I was always afraid that if I would take a full-on nap, I would wake up 4 hours later and not get anything done. But it was just kind of the perfect 25 minutes. I would get what I needed and then be able to, I mean, and I did this nidra all over USC, like in the library, in the student lounge, like in a classroom, like everywhere. I just, anywhere I could lay down. And so I kind of stuck with it for a while. And then it kind of left me a little bit again, but I would come back to it sort of in pivotal points where I really needed like deep restoration. And then in the beginning of 2018, I met Ashley. Well, I had kind of known her before, but I met her on a deeper level. And she had done all the trainings with Jana, and we, you know, I was entering my first yin yoga teacher training at the time and sort of wanting to pursue the yoga world. And she and I got close, and she would sometimes sub Jana's classes, and I would just go to support a friend, you know, like, this is my sister, and you know, you're teaching this class, and I would go and support her. And it was one of her nidras, actually. Like, it was a full-on, like, 45-minute to an hour practice, which was the first time I was awake the whole time, and I heard every single part of it. And it, I felt inwardly rearranged, and it's been incredibly transformational for
me. It is. It's like rearranging. It's such a good way to put it. It's like completely cellular rearrangement. So let's back up a little bit. You know, because you said you were super exhausted and tired, and I want to get back to the point where you had this epic moment of like, this shit needs to change. And you went on this quest. So let's go back to that moment.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, I came into recovery in 2013, and, you know, obviously, you know, my first year was just insane. You know, like, I didn't drink and use no matter what, but a lot of the spiritual elements were a little lost on me. And then I had a mentor in recovery who sort of introduced me to meditation, and, you know, I did that for a while and didn't really stick. And nidra is kind of the first practice that like really hit me and stuck with me. And so in, you know, going back to school sober was very challenging for me. You know, I had been diagnosed with ADHD prior to sobriety and taking medication for that. And, you know, I had a really hard time of like, what is this going to look like with like no drugs and no caffeine and all this stuff? Like, how am I going to navigate this when, you know, a lot of my other peers have different tools available to them, you know, that I no longer had. And, you know, I tried to just kind of like power my way through it for the first few months and just absolutely ran myself into the ground doing that. And there, yeah, there just came this moment where I like came home one day and felt like I was just going to collapse. And I was like, I can't literally sleep for hours in the middle of the day. Like, I need a solution that works, you know, that's in line with my new path. But also that like sustains this physical body, you know, that I like we all have to work with. And that's when I found that nidra on Insight Timer, and it was kind of the answer to all of my, all of, you know, it fit perfectly into my new lifestyle.
It's so interesting how suddenly the universe like plops down a little breadcrumb for us, right? And we're either awake enough to see like, oh, I want to take that little nibble, or we're not awake at all, but it's like, it's been there all along, you know? And so if you look back on your life, you know, what were those little breadcrumbs that were just kind of hanging out waiting for you to be like, oh, I so want to try that now?
Yeah, totally. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to Catholic school, and there was meditation introduced, but in a very different way.
Yeah.
You know,
very rigid, maybe
very rigid, and sort of, you know, it was all like centered around these visualizations of Jesus Christ, which is great. And like, might work for some people, you know? And so I remember being like, I like this, like, this is cool. Like, I like going into the church and having quiet, you know, and like kind of getting to sit in my own, you know, we each got to like sit in our own pew and kind of have our own space. But the direction that it was heading in the actual meditation wasn't really working for me. You know, and I've definitely been the type of person that's, I feel like, really always been on a spiritual quest. You know, my freshman year of high school, I had a religion teacher that was, had a profound impact on me, and I would stay after class and, you know, talk to him and want to learn more about spirituality or like debate things and, you know, kind of stuff like that. And so, you know, there was always this part of me that like knew there was something more and knew there was something deeper and was seeking, but there was this other incredibly self-destructive, dark, traumatized side of me that kind of kept me back from that light, you know? And, you know, even all throughout college and my darkest days and hitting my bottom, like I would still go to church, you know, like it was the weirdest thing, you know, like I, and at that time, that was the only source of meditation or serenity or spirituality I knew. So I kind of kept going back there looking for the answer I wanted, knowing it wasn't really there, but knowing it was something in that realm. If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like we're these spiritual little beings, right? And we come into this human form, and then there's like all kinds of candy, like all kinds of things to do, you know, like let's just try it all.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's like, you know, if you think of a little kid, right, in a candy store and they eat all that candy, like, or, you know, Charlie and Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, right? Like it's very destructive, you know, when we land and we have this, the great awakening of like, oh, wait a minute. I can't.
Yeah.
It completely cuts me off from the spirit, right? It cuts me off from the other spiritual beings.
Like totally.
Really, yeah. Really intense. So I love that the church was there.
Yeah.
And you knew to go back. Like you were just like, I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go there and I'm going to hang out.
Yeah, totally. And actually, when I was first coming into recovery, the local church here in Santa Monica, a lot of the priests have worked with people in recovery. And like a lot of the stories were about sort of like metaphors about people in recovery and sort of what that means with like God or higher power always wanting you and finding you and like sort of always coming towards that light, which was really cool for me in early recovery to like go there and sort of have what I was learning in the spiritual realm of recovery sort of reinforced.
Boop. Hey friend, quick announcement. I have an awesome free yoga nidra all for you waiting over at lanekennedy.com free YN practice. Go ahead and grab it. Don't forget, grab it. You're going to love it. Okay. Let's get back to the episode.
And yeah. And then meditation just sort of found me over the years. You know, I had a story for a long time that like, I couldn't meditate, you know, like I have ADHD, I'm hyperactive, I can't sit still, I can't do this. And I think that's why Nidra has been so powerful for me, is that when I lay down, I don't have to think about sitting still like I do when I'm sitting, you know, like the way that I'm able to just completely surrender and have zero effort involved sort of takes that hyperactivity right out of the equation for me, you know.
Yeah, that's such a good point, that I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. my mind is racing.
Yep.
And Nidra has a way of like massaging that to sleep.
Yes.
Like just like, okay, just going to massage you to sleep right now. Good night.
Yeah.
It's really, it's pure magic. And for, I mean, listeners, you guys know that I'm in long-term recovery and, you know, I've had a practice for a couple of decades. And when I found, the Yoga Nidra practice, I, like Elsa, had this like, what is this experience? And so it became almost addictive. Was it addictive for you?
It's definitely something that I like want to do every day, you know,
yeah.
And don't want to miss. And I can get a little bit, like I need my, you know, practice. And yeah. And I mean, you know, like with anything, it's like, I can grab onto this and then not get anything done during my day because like, I'm just meditating all day long, you know?
Right. I have a girlfriend in recovery who does that. She's like, I'm just doing meditation today. And she just goes right through the whole day. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? She's like, I'm in it. I'm like, okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. You know, it works. But there's something about like what's happening with the brain, right? Like calming down, changing the neural peptides, just really resetting the whole body. I think that's one of the things that I love so much about this practice. And just, let's get practical for a moment because there's a lot of ladies listening who are, you know, super busy and super hyperactive and stress balls, right? Like that's the world that we live in, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you carve out time or how are you doing your practice today? Like, how are you carving it out and making it happen?
Yeah, totally. You know, there was one of the Astra Nidras that was meant to be done at night before going to bed, sort of to transition into the dream space, is the Pisces one. And that one was actually super powerful in helping me carve out time for a daily practice because I go to bed every night. You know, and it was like just something to put on kind of before bed and it just fit very easily sort of into my schedule. And so that was kind of the one that started the like really firm foundation of the daily practice for me. And I think now, I think knowing just how deeply restorative it is and how, you know, like 15 minutes of Nidra is like an hour of sleep, you know, like just knowing that I can wake up an hour early to do this because I'm getting even more deeply restored through this practice than I am even through sleep. And also knowing that if you fall asleep in the practice, it is okay.
Yes.
And like, I think that's the biggest thing too, is like, sometimes I would be like, well, I want to wake up early to meditate, but then I'll just fall asleep during my meditation and I can't do that. That's like against the rules, you know, of like in my mind of what sitting meditation looks like.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, I've been practicing this for quite a while now. And like, sometimes I'm completely awake and alert for the whole practice. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can't remember past the right side of the body on the body scan. You know? The miraculous thing to me is that I always seem to, even if I do fall asleep, wake up as the practice is ending, like pretty much almost always. So I know that I'm hearing it, you know, and I know that it's working. So for me, you know, when I can, I do love a 30-minute nap at the end of the day or in the middle of the day. And so I've replaced that with Nidra. Mm-hmm. And if I know it's a day where I can't do that, I'll wake up early and do it in the morning. And the morning has become my favorite time to practice.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I just like, I'm up at 5:15. Like, forget it. It's like gold time. Cannot miss it.
Yeah.
So do you have a special place that you do it in, or do you just do it in your bed, or do you go somewhere else, or?
Yeah. So for a while I was being more diligent about, you know, building a little bed on the floor and having the yoga mat and the bolster and all that kind of stuff. In all honesty, I live in a studio and it's a small space, you know, and so having to like build and break down that little Nidra bed on the floor every day was just like not working for me anymore. Right. So I've started doing it in my bed, yeah. You know, and a lot of times I'll do it on top of the sheets with a blanket yeah. over me. So it doesn't feel quite like I'm like under the comforter ready to go yeah. to bed. But that really works for me. And it also is just the most comfortable for my sacrum and different yeah. things. So yeah, the bed is the nidra spot.
Right on the bed. Yeah. So easy, right? It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Amen to that. Have you had any profound spiritual moments after a nidra? So you have the nidra, right? And then you go about your day and then you realize like, oh, this is related.
Totally. I'd say the most recent example is, you know, I'm in the stage of my life where I'm sort of breaking away from my parents finally completely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they definitely have an expectation of what they wanted my life to look like. And I'm going in a completely different direction. And
so let's back up right there, because yeah. let's tell our listeners, because I know your story, but our listeners don't. So tell the listeners where you were going with your life.
Yes. So, you know, I went to USC. I majored in economics. I thought I was going to pursue a PhD in economics, and then the math was just insane. So I decided not to do that. But the plan was for me to get a 9-to-5 corporate job in some business setting. And then last year, you know, I started this journey of a bunch of yoga teacher trainings, and that's morphed into nidra training and breathwork training. And so, you know, I feel in the core of my being that all of the suffering and pain that I went through in addiction and mental illness and all the stuff for the beginning of my life is so that I could heal myself and then share that with others and help yeah. others to heal. But you know, I definitely don't come from the kind of family that talks about like your dharma and your innermost calling and all, you know, like, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, I love them dearly. It's just yeah. not, you know, a part of how they think about the world and, you know, how they're not as in touch with themselves and what they really want and stuff. So, you know, for a long time I was, you know, sort of looking for a corporate job, but knowing that wasn't really for me. And I knew that I had to have a conversation with them about this, you know, but I've been terrified. And after the nidra training, you know, I did a lot of work around this. And then there was one nidra I was practicing that talked about being bound versus being free.
Yeah.
And pairs of opposites. And I'll never forget being in the nidra and feeling like I had ropes like tied around my body, like being bound.
Yeah.
And then feeling the just most freedom I had ever experienced in my life. And so for about 30 days, I was working with the Sankalpa, I am free.
Yay.
And yes, and it was so incredible. And I know that it was that work in that nidra that gave me the courage to call them up and like with my voice shaking and tears running down my face, be like, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, and it was really hard and, you know, it didn't go super well, but like I am free and I'm in my truth, you know, and I know that I would not have been able to do that without that deep work and with that same nidra, with that same sankalpa day after day after day. And so that's one example. There's many, but that's a huge one for me.
Yeah. That is so, I love the, everybody that I talk to has these epic shifts of consciousness as a result of finding a sankalpa mm-hmm. and doing it for more than one day. Right, really holding that sankalpa in your heart. And for those of you who don't know what a sankalpa is, it is the intention from your heart that is shared within the practice. It's like a whisper. I like to call it like a whisper. And just, oh my God, they're profound. It's really profound. Like you having that freedom, I know exactly what that's like because I've had so many shifts over the past couple of years with this practice. Let's see. Do I have anything else I want to share with you or ask you? Do you have anything else that you want to share with us?
Just practice nidra. It's just so incredible. It really is, you know, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this practice more and more and, you know, just the creative process of writing it and sort of, you know, putting yourself in the experience from that side has been really interesting too.
So that's what I was actually, we're going to have to close up very quickly here, but I do want to mention, the creative process part of the nidra is that they are written by the guide. And Elsa is so creative. And in one of her nidras, I like was thrown out of my body because it was so creative. But this process, again, is so deep that I want you guys to experience it. That's all I'm going to say, right? Because each guide brings their experience, their intuition, their spiritual process, their gifts, right? So each nidra is really, really special. So if you guys want to go over and check out Elsa Offerings on the gram, or check out her website as well, and you know, see what she's up to and where she's teaching. You're teaching as well in LA?
Yeah, in like the on the west side in Santa Monica.
Yeah. So make sure to reach out to her and say hi and grab one of her nidras, and you maybe you'll get thrown to the other side of the room too. So good. So juicy. Yes. Elsa, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Lane. This was awesome. Appreciate it.
How was that? Another episode. Thank you for listening so very much. I hope you got something out of that episode, even if it was a little tiny nugget. I just really appreciate you hanging out with me. And I want to invite you to jump on over to lanekennedy.com and grab a practice, right? I have a lot of practices and a lot of things over there that I offer my clients. And one of the new juicy things that I'm sharing with people is a yoga nidra practice with me. So you can jump on over to lanekennedy.com/free-YN practice. That's free YN practice. And you'll get one of my, it's a really great, actually, it's a really great practice, about around ceremony, and it will put you in deep, my friend. So go on over there and grab it. It's my gift to you. Thanks for listening and hanging out. Until the next episode, bye for now.